I'm in the home of Yorgos and Evi Markakis here in Athens. I love to call Yorgos for Yorgos, but he's known as George Markakis, apostle here in Greece and in Athens, and with a wide influence worldwide, and especially with a focus nowadays in the Balkan region. And, you know, I'm very privileged to have Yorgos and Evi as vital members of the European Coalition of Apostolic Leaders. And they hosted us so beautifully for our consultation in Athens back in January 2014. But Yorgos, you have a heart for the Balkan region. And I know you're focusing on it that right nowadays. What's happening there?
Well, I think it's probably important to say that this had not been my focus until about 2 years ago. I mean, Greece is part of the Balkans, but traditionally, because the Balkans were for so long communist, number one, number two, because across the border from to the north, whether it was Albania, Yugoslavia or Bulgaria, they were our enemies. So actually, we in Greece would think of the Balkans not with the best of feelings. We did not want to identify with the Balkan nations, even though geographically Greece is definitely part of the Balkans. And so we did not put emphasis on that, and I was reserved as a result of being a Greek, reflecting that hostility of generations. But what happened was I was invited to a Balkan prayer meeting about a year and a half ago. And the people there, or most of the people there, were people with whom I had become friends through the years, because I had already been traveling in different places, but on a personal acquaintance basis. And then suddenly, the Lord began to pull together these people with whom we had had some prior interaction through the years, and we had developed friendships. And eventually, to cut a long story short, we really understood the Lord was shaping a network or a fellowship of friends from different Balkan nations. There are always people whom the Spirit uses as leaders or as fathers of any kind of movement. And at this point, I will not go into details or give names, but there were a few specific people who took initiatives and who felt the move of the Spirit, so they invested into it. But when I went to that prayer meeting for the Balkans, I was more curious, why am I here? Why did I get invited here? And I got invited by friends. And I was just as reserved as I could be until, and this is the key part, the Holy Spirit said to me, would you tithe your time for the Balkans? I began to ponder that thought, and the first conclusion was, well, I don't think the Lord literally told me to figure out what is the 10% of my time. Number two, what I think the Lord is saying is that whatever I give to the Balkans, just like tithing is wholly unto the Lord, which eventually means it's not really mine, it's His. So what the Lord is really telling me is that a portion of my time belongs to God, it's not even mine to steward, and I am expected to honor that because it's His that He gave me. And so I said, of course, Lord, even though I don't know what that means. Now, it's also important to say that even though I had never thought of the context of the Balkans, what I was already doing was working with local churches in the Balkans, but without thinking Balkan, right? So I was very much involved in Bulgaria especially, and my focus had been the Muslim population of Bulgaria, who are primarily in the south and towards Turkey. About 10% of Bulgarians are Turkish-speaking and Muslim, and they are in a very strategic region where Turkey is investing a lot of money. Just as a small example, imagine a village of 300 people where Turkey invests a $2 million project for a mosque and an Islamic center for Islamic studies. Okay, that's the kind of money I'm talking about. and it's not just one place. So my focus had already been for years, how do we infiltrate in a positive way the Muslim regions for the gospel? And because it is not easy and all the missionaries who have been there have been disappointed and it's very hard ground, and we have been working with such missionaries in such areas. We've actually encouraged missions, we have financed missions, we've been for some years financing monthly missionary couples who live in that region, in the Rhodope Mountain of Bulgaria, been working with Bulgarian churches focusing on missions and so on. I knew that the first step to take in such areas is deal with the things in the spirit. Just break the hard ground through prayer. So a large part of what we were doing is visiting places, praying strategically, trying to open heaven, make the path easier for those who go to actually live there and minister. So that is something that I had already been doing. But as I said, not thinking Balkan, thinking local. And what changed in that prayer meeting is suddenly what I already was doing suddenly took a bigger vision for all the Balkans. Along with the vision and the calling behind it came a lot of information that the Holy Spirit brought my way through friends who live and minister in different Balkan region areas. And among other pieces of information which is very pertinent here is the number of Muslim quote-unquote evangelists coming into that region to turn it into Islamic. Think about this. Former Yugoslavian Republic of Macedonia, as is the official name of this neighboring country, there is one place where now, as we speak, there is an Islamic center under construction which will hold 6,000 Saudis who are moving over under the pretense of being students. But clearly their mission is to Islamize the Balkan region. So given all this, my response to the Lord was, okay, Lord, this is huge. What are we doing? I don't have the answer yet. But what I do have is this. The second step, which was very personalized by the Lord, came in Albania a month ago. When I went there for a prayer conference that I had organized, the Lord said to me another shocking question. He said, would you adopt Albania? Well, never heard that before, so I had to ponder that quite a lot. And short version of what I came up with was, well, to adopt a nation would mean that I feel the nation as if it is mine. So now this is very recent, it's only 1 month old, but I've already been working on it in prayer. I've been trying to lay out a plan for next steps, but talking about Albania, we're not talking about the country of Albania only, we're also talking about the Albanian populations in Montenegro, in Serbia, in Kosovo, and in the former Yugoslavian Republic of Macedonia. And if I speak about that alone, 30% of those quote-unquote Macedonians are Albanians who speak the Albanian language, and they are 100% fanatic Muslims, and there is no church in their midst. I see now a need for the body of Christ to come together and pray and seek the Lord for next steps. Already there are several gatherings in the Balkans scheduled for this year. The next major one is the European Trumpet Call in Skopje, 18 to 21 of June. You can look it up on the internet, and people from all over Europe will come to pray for the Balkans and for Europe. And I'm praying and waiting on the Lord, when shall I call for a meeting to seek the Lord how to take back the Balkans for the kingdom of God, especially in the areas where there is a great need for new churches to be planted, for missionaries to start working among the local peoples, especially among the Albanians, both in Albania and in the neighboring countries.
Thank you so much, George.